Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you're joining us for the first time or you've been listening every day for 10 years, we just want to say welcome, we love you, and we pray for you every day. So we're continuing with this series called Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles. And in this series, you're learning how to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you courage to impact the world around you. And if you're like me, you'd really like to be more bold and have more courage to share your faith in Christ. Now let's hear what Rick has to say today in part one of a message called Daring to Believe.
The Bible records the first Easter morning this way in John chapter 20. Let me read it to you. Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to visit the tomb where Jesus had been buried. And she found a huge stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So she ran and she found Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and I don't know where they've put him." See, in this time, nobody expected the resurrection. Even the disciples, even though Jesus had predicted it, nobody expected it. They thought somebody had stolen the body. So then Peter and John ran to the tomb to see for themselves, and John got to the tomb first. He saw the linen burial cloth lying there folded. Now, this is kind of strange. If you're a grave robber, you're not going to take a dead body, unwrap it, fold up the roll, and set the wrapping right there, and then take a dead, naked body. That would be kind of weird. So why would they have the burial clothes sitting right there folded? It says, "Then Peter arrived and went inside, and he also noticed the linen wrapping lying there with the cloth that had covered Jesus' head. Now, when John saw this evidence, he believed. For up until this point, the disciples still had not understood the scriptures that said Jesus would rise from the dead." Do you dare to believe? That's the most important question you'll ever be asked, because your determined eternal destiny will be based on the answer. Will you dare to believe? Here at Saddleback Church, we're in a series, this is week three, that we're calling Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles. And really what I want to do is just two simple things this weekend. Answer two questions. First, what are the benefits of believing in Jesus Christ? What are the benefits to you for believing in Jesus Christ? And then second, I want to answer the question, what does it actually mean to believe in Jesus? And then I want to end with a personal testimony about believing in your darkest days. Now, let's begin. Four benefits. Write these down. I could give you 50 benefits of what you benefit from if you believe in Christ, but let me just give you four. These four will cover the major areas. Number one, first benefit of believing in Jesus Christ: everything I've ever done wrong is forgiven. Everything I've ever done wrong is forgiven. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and dying for your sins and mine, God forgives you freely, completely, instantly, and repeatedly. Even if there were no such thing as a heaven, and of course there is, but even if there were no heaven, it would be worth believing in Jesus just to get a clear conscience. Because having talked to thousands of people, I know that most people are carrying secret guilt, secret regret, and secret shame, and you can be completely forgiven of that. Here's what the Bible says. Acts chapter 10, all who believe in Jesus will be forgiven of their sins through Jesus' name. Romans 3 says this: we're made right with God in God's sight when we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we can all be saved in this same way, no matter who we are or what we've done. I love that last part. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, who you've done it with, how long you did it, or where you did it. You can be saved, you can be forgiven. Everything is forgiven when I trust in Jesus Christ. Number two, I learn God's purpose for my life. That's the second big benefit. I learn the purpose of my life, God's purpose. Now, if you don't know your purpose, and most people don't know the purpose of their life, you end up drifting through life. You get bounced around. Life controls you rather than you controlling life. Now, there's only one way you're going to learn the purpose of your life. You got to talk to your Creator. You can't tell yourself what your purpose is because you didn't invent you. Sometimes people say, if you want to know your purpose, look within. Well, I did that. That didn't work. You can't tell you what your purpose is because you didn't create you. Only the Creator can tell you what purpose you were created for. And you will never, 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 never know the purpose of your life until you believe in Jesus Christ, because He is your Creator. The Bible says this: everything, absolutely everything, got started in Christ and finds its purpose in Him. Today, so many people are confused about their identity and their purpose. I don't know who I am, and I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life, because you're looking in the wrong places. The Bible says this: it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Who we are, that's identity. What we're living for, that's our purpose. It is in Christ we find that out. Part of the overall purpose He's working out in everything and everyone. Number three, third benefit of believing in Christ: I get God's strength for daily living. I get God's strength for daily living. Now, I used to think this wasn't a big deal, but I've realized that this is the number one problem most people have today. Most people, their number one problem isn't worry or fear or guilt or boredom or bitterness. Their number one problem is weariness. I talk to people all the time and just say, I'm just so tired all the time. I can't get it all done. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't have enough energy to get everything done that I need to do. And the reason why you're tired all the time is you have a power shortage. And the reason you have a power shortage is you're not plugged into God's power. You're trying to live your life on your power alone. Now, there's no way you can fulfill your purpose in life without being plugged into God's power. A toaster unplugged is worthless. A blender unplugged is worthless. A vacuum cleaner has no purpose. It's just a bunch of metal if it's not plugged in to the power source. Your life cannot possibly be all God intends for it to be until you're plugged into God's power. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 40: God gives power to those who are tired and worn out, and He offers strength to the weak. And in Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says this: I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great His power is. Whose power? Jesus' power. To help those who believe Him. That's the key. Belief unlocks God's power in your life. It is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Wait a minute, time out. Are you telling me that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that split history into AD and BC, is available to me on a personal basis, day every day? That's exactly what I'm saying. That the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, is available to you if you believe. You say, well, what do I need power for? Oh, you need it in more ways than you realize. You need it. You need God's power to change things in your life you can't change on your own power. The truth is, if you were honest, there's some things about you don't like about you. There's some things about your personality. There's some things about your past. There's some things about how you handle life you don't like. And you've tried to change, but you can't, so you won't. And really, maybe you do willpower for a while, and it works for a while, and then you give up and you quit. You need a power greater than yourself to make changes. You need God's power in your life. And when you mess up and you screw up and you make a big failure in your life, you need God's power to start over. And when you're ready to give up and throw in the towel, you need God's power to keep going. And sometimes when you have things, God gives you the power to say no to things that you know, these aren't good for me. They're messing up my life. They're destructive on my relationships. God gives you the power to say no, the power to start over, the power to begin again, the power to keep going, the power to change. Paul says it like this: I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. Now, this is not positive mental attitude. This is not self-help psychology. This is not pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. No, this is supernatural power. I have the power to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me, that strength. What are the all conditions? The power to handle loneliness when you're lonely. The power to handle pressure when you're under tension. The power to handle stress. The power to handle guilt and fear and boredom and bitterness and rejection. The power to handle a financial crisis. The power to handle a physical health crisis. The power to handle a relational crisis. Where does that power come from? It comes from God when you believe in Jesus Christ. So I get all of my sins, everything I've ever done wrong is forgiven. I get my past forgiven, I get a purpose for living, and I get a power for living. Then there's a fourth one. This is the cherry on top. I am guaranteed eternal life. Hello. Now we're talking. Even if none of these other things were available, I am given eternal life because of Jesus' resurrection when I believe in him. You see, Jesus bringing himself back to life changed everything. When Jesus came back to life, it literally split history into AD and BC. It's the most important event. In fact, your birthday is dated by day, month, and year in relationship to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every time you write a date, you are using Jesus' resurrection as a reference point because God came to earth in human form, split history into AD and BC. Nothing is bigger. And the resurrection proved three things. First, it proved that Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be. Jesus repeatedly said, "I am God. I am God come in human form to die for your sins." Now, a lot of people say, "Oh, well, I don't believe Jesus was God. I believe he was a great teacher." He couldn't be a great teacher. That's the one thing he possibly could not be, because a good, great teacher would not claim to be God. He's either who he says he is, or he's the biggest liar in history. He's a con man, or he's a lunatic, like the guy who thinks he's Napoleon or a fried egg. You know, a good teacher is not an option. For instance, if I were to stand up here today and I say, "Hi, my name's Rick Warren. I'm a good teacher." You might say, "Okay, I can buy that. Rick's a good teacher." I might even be able to get away and say, "Hi, I'm Rick Warren. I'm a prophet of God." You go, "Oh, I'm not sure about that one." But maybe, okay, maybe. But if I stood up here and I said, "Hi, I'm Rick and I'm God," would that change our relationship? Yeah. Because all of a sudden, you're forced to make a decision. He's either who he says he is, or he's trying to con me, or he's nuts. There's no other alternative. And you have to decide, was Jesus nuts? Was he totally insane? Or was he the biggest con man, and he conned 2.3 billion people? If that's true, we should all close up shop and go home. There's no reason for Christmas, no reason for Easter, no reason for church, because he's deluded most of the world and deluded people throughout history. Or he is who he claimed to be. Now, throughout history, thousands of people have claimed to be God. This is nothing new. Lots of people in history have claimed to be God. But only one person said, "I'm going to prove it." And that's Jesus. And he said, "Here's what I'm going to do to prove that I am who I say I am. I'm going to let my enemies kill me. And I'm going to be buried in a tomb for 3 days. Then I'm going to raise myself back to life." And that's exactly what he did. And when he came back to life, he didn't just show up and appear to a few believers. He stayed on earth for another 40 days, walked around Jerusalem for 40 more days. All kinds of people saw him. One time he had a party with 500 people. It's kind of hard to fool 500 people. Can you imagine being the Roman centurions who nailed Jesus to the cross, and the next week you're walking down the street in Jerusalem, and there he is, and you go, "He's back." That'd be kind of weird to see the guy that you just killed walking down the streets. And that's why so many in Jerusalem instantly became believers. It was in a matter of years, 100,000 people were followers of Christ because everybody had seen him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most well-attested events in history. It would stand up in any court of law. In fact, it has many, many times throughout many centuries. It proved Jesus was who he was. He is the Son of God. But more than that, it proved that Jesus keeps his promises. And Jesus said, "I'm going to let him kill me and I'll come back to life." Now, did he keep that? Yes. Well, if he kept that one, then I can trust the other promises in this book. The ones that talk to me about my life, because I know he keeps his promises. And the third thing it tells me is that it proves that there is life after death. If Jesus Christ hadn't resurrected, you have no hope of the future. You have no hope of eternity. You would have no knowledge of heaven or anything else, because Jesus Christ was the one who proved there's life after death. If he hadn't resurrected, again, it's all just a big joke. Let's all go home. Let's go to the beach. I'm buying. I'll get some hot dogs or something. Now, let me show you what Jesus said. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said, I am the one who raises the dead and gives life again. Now, Buddha didn't say this. Muhammad didn't say this. Karl Marx didn't say this. Nobody else has ever said this because nobody else has ever raised themselves back up to life because they're not God. This is what puts Jesus in a unique position as the Son of God. I am the one who raises the dead. And here's what he says. Because of that, anyone who believes in me, even though he dies, shall live again. He is given eternal life for believing in me. Circle that. Eternal life, given eternal life for believing in me, and shall never perish. Now, if Jesus Christ has not risen at Easter, this verse would be a joke. It's just not true. You have no hope. When you're dead, it's over, that's it. But Jesus said, because of that, I give eternal life to those who believe in me. The most famous verse in the Bible talks about this. John 3:16. You've seen this verse held up on placards at football games for 30 years. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, again, I could give you 50 benefits of believing in Christ. I just gave you four. Everything you've ever done wrong, forgiven. You get a purpose for living. You get a home in heaven. And you get power for living here on earth. Question, where else are you going to get that? Nowhere. Who else can give that to you? No one. If you don't get it from Jesus, you don't get it. Because he's the only one who can give you those four things. Now, these are amazing benefits you can't get anywhere else. And the qualification? I must believe. The Bible said this is what God wants you to do. He wants you to believe in the one that he sent. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus? A lot of people think they believe, but really don't. A lot of people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches because they got it up here in the head, but not here in the heart. They have a head knowledge about God, but they don't have a heart commitment to God. And so they're going to miss heaven because they don't understand the full meaning of the word believe. I was on a plane flight one time. I think I was going to China. And I was sitting next to a guy, and the guy asked me, so what kind of work do you do? And when somebody asks me that on a plane, I always say, I'm an author. Because if I say, I'm a pastor, then they think, oh, he's going to try to convert me. And they clam up. They don't want to talk for the rest of the flight. So I always just say, I'm an author. And so then he goes, so what's the name of your book? I said, well, one of them's called The Purpose Driven Life. He goes, I know who you are. And I said, and as soon as he knew who I was, he goes, I'm going to heaven. I said, great, see you there. And I said, great. I said, let me ask you, how do you know you're going to heaven? How do you know? He goes, because I believe in God. I said, good for you. I do too. I said, any other reason why you think you might be going to heaven? He said, because I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. I said, that's great. I said, would it surprise you if I told you that believing there is a God and that believing Jesus died on the cross is not enough to get into heaven? He said, are you kidding me? I said, no. I said, let me ask you this. Do you believe in the devil? He goes, oh yeah, evil is obvious in the world. There's a lot of bad evil. I believe in the devil. I said, do you think the devil's going to be in heaven? He said, well, of course not. I said, well, the devil believes in God. And the devil believes in Jesus. The devil knows Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why he put him on the cross. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to destroy the Messiah. I said, do you think Satan's going to be in heaven? No. So obviously believing in God, believing in Jesus as the Son of God is not enough to get you to heaven because even the devil believes that. He goes, where's that in the Bible? I said, here's it. And I showed him this verse, James chapter 2, 19. Do you think it's enough just to believe there's one God? Well, even the demons believe that and tremble. But you're not going to find them in heaven. Why? Because it's more than just a head knowledge. You got to go back to what the word believe actually means. And in the Greek, in which the Bible is written in Greek, was is the word, the word for believe is the word pistuo. It comes from pistis, faith. Pistuo means to believe. And it actually means more than just knowing about something, knowing something happens. It means to trust in, to cling to rely on, to adhere to, or to commit to. Big difference. It's a heart commitment. We all know that there's various levels of knowledge. For instance, there's real shallow knowledge. For instance, you all know about the Kardashians. Okay. But you know, now you don't really know them, but you know about them. And we all know about celebrities. I know about Tom Cruise. I don't know Tom Cruise personally, but I know who he is. I believe he exists. Okay. But I've never given my life to Tom Cruise. I just believe he exists. And a lot of people believe Jesus exists. They've never given their life to him. And then you have your neighbors. And your neighbors, you know a little bit more. And you know a little bit about their background. You may know where they work, maybe where they came from. But you don't really know your neighbors. But if you've been married and you know your husband or your wife, you know them much more intimately. I know my wife. Now, she's still a mystery. Okay. Now, I'm not a mystery to her because she's deep and I'm shallow. I mean, she knows everything about me. I know very little about her. But I do know that I love her. And when I say I believe in Kay, it means more than I know she exists. That's far more than I know my wife exists. It means I trust in her. I rely on her. I have committed my life to her. And I know her intimately in a way I don't know anybody else, because in 2 months, I will have been married to her for 40 years. Now, that's a kind of knowledge and intimacy. And when I say I believe in my wife, it's more than I just believe she exists. It's I trust in her. I'm committed to her. I rely on her. And I love her with all my life. That's the kind of meaning pistuo means in Scripture. It means to trust in, cling to rely on, adhere to. So what I want to do right now is explain to you 5 expressions of what it means to really believe in Jesus, because you may not have really believed in him. You may have been in church all your life, or maybe this is your first time, and you know about Jesus, but you've never really trusted in him. So I take these 5 expressions of belief, and I just for fun, I put them in an acrostic, T-R-U-S-T. What does it mean to trust in Jesus Christ? Write this down. The T means I turn everything over to Jesus. T is I turn everything over to Jesus. The good in my life, the bad in my life, the ugly in my life, the secret things in my life. I turn over my past, my present, and my future. I give him reign in my finances, in my relationships, in my sex life, in my health, in every area. I turn everything over to Jesus.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Well, friends, I want you to take just a second and think, is there anybody I know that is graduating this year? Could be a son or daughter, a grandchild, or maybe a neighbor or a family friend. Well, as you celebrate this important milestone and they begin the next phase of their journey, they really need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their lives. So Rick created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life, Selected Thoughts and Scripture for the Graduate. This is a beautiful book that I've given to my own kids. It's filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Pastor Rick, and some really beautiful imagery. It's a really unique hardcover gift book that they'll want to keep, and it provides an awesome reminder of the great life that God has planned for your graduate. I'm telling you, it will inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. Please don't miss this great opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. We'll send you a copy to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope to share the hope of Jesus Christ with people all around the world. Just go to PastorRick.com, or you could text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 to get this great study tool. Again, that's PastorRick.com, or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Please join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.